You are Locked On Phillies, your daily Philadelphia Phillies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, guys? It is Monday, June 1st, 2020. This is Locked On Phillies. I'm Tim Kelly. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Because of Todd Zielecki's book, the ESPN documentary that aired Friday and was very well done, and the 10-year anniversary of his perfect game, May essentially turned into Roy Halladay month in Phillies circles. So for June on PhilliesNation.com, we're going to look back at some of the most dominant moments in Cliff Lee's career, because I feel like you can't mention one without mentioning the other. And June is the month most associated with Cliff Lee, because in 2011, he was otherworldly in June. As I said when we had Ruben Amaro Jr. on Friday, at least since Allen Iverson's MVP season, I hadn't seen the type of excitement about something in Philadelphia sports in my lifetime like when Cliff Lee came back to the Phillies ahead of the 2011 season. That includes the Eagles going to the Super Bowl, the Phillies going to the World Series twice and winning it, all that. There was just a different level of excitement about Cliff Lee and the Phillies rotation ahead of the 2011 season. The funny thing is that Cliff Lee actually didn't start off that season great. He had a 4.18 ERA in April and a 3.78 ERA in May. He wasn't awful, but it certainly was a relatively disappointing start to the season, given the expectations that he and the Phillies entered the season with. The thing is, though, he erased all that in June. In his first start in June of 2011, he scattered 7 hits over 7 innings against the Dodgers. He struck out 10 batters in that game, and he didn't give up a single run. And the crazy thing is that ended up being his worst start in the month of June, because 5 days later, he went 8 innings against the Cubs. He did allow 1 run, but only 4 hits over 8 innings. And that 1 run was not only the first run he would allow in the month of June of 2011, it ended up being the last run he would allow in the month of June of 2011. And that start ended up being the final time that he didn't throw a complete game in June. And, I mean, think about that. Starts where he struck out 10 and gave up 1 run, those ended up being the worst starts that he made that month. For most people, those would be career-defining performances. For Cliff Lee, it was kind of a disappointment given the level he was on that month. On June 16th, he pitched a contact about as well as I've ever seen. He struck out 4 batters. He limited the Florida Marlins to just 2 hits in a complete game shutout. And he was only getting started with that performance, because 6 days later in St. Louis, he threw 126 pitches in a complete game shutout against the Cardinals, who would eventually win the World Series. Obviously, you wish maybe he saved that performance for the playoffs, but to throw back-to-back complete game shutouts is pretty incredible. To me, though, the defining performance of that month came on June 28th at Citizens Bank Park against the Red Sox. And maybe I feel it's a defining performance because I was at the game with my dad and I have fond memories of that night. But you have to put in perspective how big of a matchup this game was. The Phillies had, of course, brought Cliff Lee back that offseason after winning 4 straight division titles. A ton of excitement, more than I've ever seen about the team. The Red Sox would eventually collapse and miss the playoffs that year, but they entered that series with the best record in the American League. They were 45-32. That prior offseason, they had traded for Adrian Gonzalez and signed Carl Crawford, who at the time were two of the best players in the sport, and there was really a feeling like it was a World Series preview. And if you weren't at Citizens Bank Park in 2011, it was just different than any other year of the stadium's existence. It was the place to be. It was especially the place to be on a Friday night with the two best teams in the sport facing each other and Cliff Lee in the middle of this stretch. And all Cliff Lee did with that backdrop was limit the Red Sox to 2 hits and throw his 3rd straight complete game shutout. Look, I'm not saying Aaron Nola over the past 3 seasons has been on Cliff Lee's level, because he hasn't. But over the past 3 years, Fangraphs says that Aaron Nola has been the 8th most valuable pitcher in baseball. And he hasn't thrown a single complete game over that time. He had one of the best seasons I've ever seen a Phillies pitcher have 2 years ago. He finished 3rd in Cy Young Award voting that year. Didn't throw a single complete game. And I don't say that to diss Aaron Nola, but it's not a guarantee we ever see a Phillies pitcher throw back-to-back complete games again. I would bet eventually somebody does it. But I would be shocked if another Philly ever throws three consecutive complete games again, let alone three consecutive complete game shutouts. So over the weekend, it's very tough to keep a healthy diet. I want to indulge, but I also want to be healthy. And Built Bar gives me the best of both worlds because they taste great and they're healthy. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They have options with or without nuts. And the difference between eating this and anything that usually tastes good is that Built Bars are healthy too. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and they actually fill you up. They are the perfect way to maintain or even lose weight and not hate your life while doing so. If Built Bar sounds like your type of treat, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your first order. Again, that's BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your first order. So was the month that Cliff Lee had in June of 2011, was that the most dominant month that a Philly has ever had? Curt Schilling had three straight complete games in July of 1992, but he gave up three runs in one of those complete games. He also lost his first start of that month, so that's eliminated for me. Roy Halladay and Cole Hamels both had some great months as Phillies. They didn't have any month that approached that. The closest recent month in terms of dominance may be Ryan Howard in August of 2006, his MVP season. That year, and I remember talking to Scott Graham and Chris Wheeler about this, and they said it's just like unlike anything we've ever seen. He hit 348, 14 home runs, 41 RBIs. In terms of players that we don't believe were using performance-enhancing drugs, that's about as good as you've ever seen over the last 25 years power-wise in an individual month. Is that more dominant than Cliff Lee's month? Probably not, but Ryan Howard did play every day, which obviously starting pitchers don't, so you have to factor that in. Chase Utley had the bulk of his 35-game hitting streak in July of 2006, a month where he hit 425, which is incredible. That's the 15th longest hitting streak in MLB history. Between 2005 and 2006, Jimmy Rollins had a 38-game hitting streak, which is the 8th longest in MLB history. He hit 402 in September of 2005. Great month. Don't know if it comes into Cliff Lee territory. Mike Schmidt had 13 home runs in July of 1979, but I don't think, even though he's the greatest player in Philly's history by a sizable amount in my mind, certainly in terms of position players, I don't think he ever had a month that was definitively better than what Ryan Howard did in August of 2006, let alone Cliff Lee's June of 2011. So when Lee pitched those three straight complete game shutouts to end June of 2011, he became the first Phillies pitcher to do that since Steve Carlton did it in 1972. And Carlton, this is hard to fathom, even though it was a different era, Carlton did that in the stretch of nine straight complete games, five of which were shutouts. They were spread out over 2 months, though. The first three of those complete games came in July. In July of 1972, Carlton made seven starts. Six of them were complete games, including an 11-inning one in San Diego on July 19th. In July of 1972, he went 6-0 with a 1.48 ERA. The only blemish that month was he did have one start where he lasted only five innings and gave up four runs. It's important to note, though, he made two more starts in July of 1972 than Cliff Lee did in June of 2011. Pitchers were just used differently then. If Cliff Lee makes another start or two in June of 2011, do his numbers stay as pretty much perfect as they were? Probably not, but I don't know. I can't say definitively that when you go 5-0 with an 0.21 ERA and five starts that he wouldn't have been better than Carlton that month. In August of 1972, Carlton went 7-2 with a 1.67 ERA. He threw six consecutive complete games to start that month. He actually lost the last complete game, even though he went 11 innings. He did have one start that month where he only lasted six innings, but I think he may have earned that. And then in September of 1972, Steve Carlton threw complete games in seven of eight starts. The only start, he didn't go all nine innings. He lasted eight. He had a 1.14 ERA in eight starts that month. Basically, if you didn't already know or you forgot, Steve Carlton's 1972 season was the best the Phillies ever had and maybe the best in individual pitchers that he ever had, even though the Phillies were a disaster as a team that season. He would probably get my nod for best month any Philly has ever had for any of those 3 months. But for Cliff Lee to even be in the discussion with Steve Carlton, one of the greatest left-handed pitchers of all time, in 1972, who had one of the five best seasons a pitcher's ever had, it should be a reminder of how dominant Cliff Lee was in his prime, and it's why on PhilliesNation.com this month, we are taking a look back at Cliff Lee. As I mentioned, you can always read me on PhilliesNation.com, Radio.com, follow me on Twitter, at Tim Kelly Sports. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. And now tell your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Locked On Fantasy Baseball. I'll talk to you guys next time.